the Unfiltered Union Podcast.
So normally when we podcast, we have guests on and we wear clothes that look a little more presentable, but today it's all about comfort.
Well, I haven't even taken a shower yet today, so.
Sexy. So I'm Linz.
And I'm Russ. Florida is hot. So showers in the morning is a waste of time.
Well, one of the things that you did recently that I have to give you your flowers on is the shower ice cream idea.
Yeah, you got to do that. What do you mean? I mean, like, so Florida is hot. Everybody knows this, but the water, like our tap water, is fucking hot too.
Okay.
So there's no way to cool off in Florida. Like you can't turn it to cold and it actually turns cold for us.
Well, to an extent, right?
It's more like lukewarm, but it's still 90% of the time it's not refreshing. So my idea was to bring an ice cream in and cool off while I take a shower.
You're just so productive in your showers.
Because 90% of the time when I get out of the shower, I am already sweating. There was a meme out there that said, what it's like to live in Florida is you go take a hot shower, then you get out and put your clothes on without drying off. That is 100% true.
I hundred. Yeah, I feel like we've been doing a lot of comfy clothes and comfiness over the past, week and a half, almost 2 weeks. So kiddo was sick.
Yeah, for 8 days?
She had a fever for 8 days.
The old walking pee pneumonia.
It was crazy. So I don't think we've gotten out of the comfy clothes just yet.
No, and I think that's part of the reason why I haven't taken a shower yet too, because I haven't really been used to taking showers.
Regularly.
Regular showers.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, this house is stank.
Well, I mean, we were in survival mode is what it felt like.
And I'm definitely still recovering.
Yeah.
Still very tired.
Yeah, so is kiddo. She's still recovering, but she's doing well.
Yes, thankfully.
It's just crazy.
We're keeping our activity levels to a minimum, though, just because pneumonia messes with your lungs, and we don't want to overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we don't want to go out.
A little bit of laziness there, but it's getting hot in Florida.
Very hot. Yeah, this year is supposed to be a very wet one.
Wet one.
Moist.
I hadn't heard that. I heard it was supposed to be hot again, meaning like the Gulf is going to be in the 90s again.
Well, we're getting, what is it called? El Nino?
Right.
So
what does El Nino mean?
The Nino.
I don't know what it means. Apparently, I was just curious if you did. I think it has something.
Why would you ask me if you don't know what it means?
I thought
I was going to learn something today.
I was curious if you had looked it up after hearing that it was going to be El Nino. But I think it has something to do with the water bulge. Like it bulges on the earth at certain points and it makes more. Well, I don't know.
Maybe so it's not wrong. The earth isn't perfectly round? It's like an oval?
No, the earth is, but the water moves like based upon pull, gravitational pull. I don't know. I could be totally wrong. We need Dennis Phillips. Dennis Phillips is Central Florida's weatherman. He is
Tampa.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, Central Florida. He goes from Orlando to Tampa.
Right.
He covers that area. Right. Yeah, we love him.
He likes one of my meme posts.
I felt so important.
I did. I was like, I'm about to be famous, and the podcast didn't do anything.
Oh, stop.
I want to see if we can get him on here one day.
Maybe one day. But one of the things about Florida is you mentioned that the water doesn't get too cold, so the ice cream in the shower is important.
Yes.
But solar recovery. Yes. Utilizing solar recovery.
I think it's actually called solar recover.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Drop the Y.
I just want to be clear.
Thank you for mansplaining.
Oh, my God. That's not what that is. We're giving advice to use solar recover.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying recovery. People are going to type it in and be like, well, I can't find it. I got third-degree burns and
I can't
find it.
It's one additional letter. Calm down.
Yeah.
So the solar recover stuff comes in a blue bottle, and you can get it on Amazon. And you spray it on your skin after sunburn, and you're not supposed to
peel
itch. Right. Like all the bad things of sunburn. We love it.
I I am an anti-snake oil person. Like, because I found this stuff. I can't remember. I was doing research because when I get sunburn, I get hell's itch.
You're pale.
Yeah, I am pale. So I get sunburned.
Fair skin person.
I get sunburned pretty easy. And because of that, I have always tried to find remedies for that inevitable time that I do get burned, mm-hmm. which is fucking all the time.
Yep. Anytime we go outside.
Anytime we go outside, I get burned. Well, I looked it up on Reddit and stuff, and people were like, try this solar recover stuff. It's lotion in a bottle or lotion in liquid form type deal. And I hate lotion. That makes me feel grimy. But anyway, I was like, all right, well, I'm desperate. I need to try it because it was so bad. My back was itching and I can't scratch that. So I was constantly on like the corners of the house and stuff getting after it. But I couldn't sleep. So we use this stuff now and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It works. And this is not an ad. We are not getting any sort of monetization for talking about it. I wish we were. Right. But we really enjoy that stuff. I like it. It works.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
One of the things you just said, though, is that you don't like lotion. This is like this should be a quote. White people say, I don't like lotion.
I don't. It's the worst feeling in the world. It's like, I don't know how. So you take a shower, you get mm-hmm. out of the shower, and yep. you immediately put lotion on. I'm like,
head to toe.
I just got in the shower to wash off all the muck. Okay. I'm not trying to get out of the shower and put more muck on.
Right, but everything in the shower is drying of your skin.
Keep it dry, baby. Well, we're in Florida, so you walk out of the shower and nothing's dry.
I get it. There is high humidity in Florida, but it still can dry out your skin, all the things that you're using in the shower. So to me, it feels good to moisturize when you get out. But also use Solo Recover.
I can't. I will use Solar Recover because that actually does not feel like lotion. It's more of like a spray on. It's very fine mist and you spray it on. The only thing that I would wish they do is change the bottle up a little bit.
Oh, right. Because when you tilt the bottle yes. and not spray right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you get sunburn everywhere. So if you're trying to spray yourself on the back, you might tip it wrong.
Yeah.
And you're not getting any and you get frustrated and then you got to ask somebody and. If you're not around, I got to ask our kiddo, and she's just...
she's short.
Yeah, and it's...
For now.
And it smells good, and it's just spraying it everywhere. Like, that shit's expensive, man.
But it's good. It's good. Along the lines of Florida, there is a new song out all about Florida.
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Tay-Tay made a song, and it literally is the Florida song, I think is what it's titled.
I never heard it.
We're going to listen to it, and I want your real-time reaction. And we're back.
What did I just listen to?
Okay, so that's your reaction?
I mean, but I don't know. It's okay.
I mean, a lot of people seemed like they were really upset by that song for the way that she portrayed Florida. And... she mentions, you know, smells like weed and little babies, and meaning like lotion, suntan lotion, sunscreen.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, like beach bum, the baby, remember?
Oh, well, I mean, that's not a bad smell. The weed is.
Yeah, I don't like the weed smell. But, so they were saying, you know, the idea that she's, you know, portraying Florida this way and... the Swifties all came to her rescue and said it was when she got broken up with. She was actually in Florida. So maybe that's why. But.
Oh, it's not. I don't think it's talking that negative about Florida. Just,
I don't think so either.
Florida's a hell of a drug or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, drugs are addicting.
Yeah.
So it seems like she likes it. I don't know. I don't see anything negative other than the weed smell.
Yeah, I mean, and then Florence and the Machine is on that song too. And her whole thing was almost like using euphemisms for Florida life, the swamp, and those kind of those pieces, right? It's like more of a metaphor than she is making any comments. So, yeah, I don't know that I totally understand the outrage.
I don't.
Other than that one line.
What, the smells like weed and babies?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's kind of a weird line.
To put together.
I mean, if you're trying to say it smells like sunscreen, then just say it smells like sunscreen.
Oh, okay. You don't like euphemisms and metaphors.
Smelling like babies sounds creepy as fuck, okay?
Okay, I agree. But, I mean, a lot of people do equate the smell of sunscreen with baby smell.
I equate the smell of sunscreen to the beach.
I mean, true, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she should have said that. Mm. Smell of the beach.
So, with all of the idea of the stuff that she laid out about Florida, right? One of the things that a lot of people keep bringing up about Florida is gators. The gators are in mating season right now.
Wow.
And they're walking around.
Wow.
And everybody keeps playing the Jurassic Park theme song to gators. You know that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're making it out to be like gators are everywhere. And while we have seen our fair share, I think, while living here, I don't think that they're that oftenly seen.
The only time I have seen one is when I go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Going to their house, so I would expect to.
Kind of like Kaylee said about the sharks, right? Yeah,
exactly. If I go bass fishing in a pond, I am extra vigilant and I keep an eye out. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are other people who post things like OMG, it's Wix. He does a lot of these Floridians versus non-Floridians, and Floridians are afraid. Oh my God. And to be honest, before we moved down here, I watched so many of his videos.
Yeah, we were prepared.
Yeah, I feel prepared based on what he had in his videos.
Yeah.
But it was honestly one of my concerns, but I don't think it's very valid.
The vibe I get is pure terror from people.
Like, about gators.
Like they're a menace.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, they're the sign of a healthy and thriving ecosystem.
Yep.
So leave them the hell alone. Like in our neighborhood, people will call animal control or whatever to come and trap them. And that makes me super upset.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's totally true, but a lot of people say that once you call on a gator, they are killed. Trapped and killed.
There's huge places where a lot of them get dropped off too, though.
Yeah, like Circle B in Lakeland.
Exactly. There's hundreds and hundreds of gators there, just smashing all the time, making little gator babies.
Right. Well, I think one of the things that I'm more afraid of about Florida is the people.
The people are nuts, man.
Yeah, they're crazy. But there was a couple here in Florida that actually taped lottery ticket numbers together and tried to turn it in like they won.
That's not a bad idea.
Fucking smart, right?
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. They got caught.
Obviously, they got caught.
Fraud, possible jail time. Like, they got caught. And I was like, oh my God.
Dang.
How has nobody ever tried that before?
I'm sure they have. Yeah. But I think they need to get a little bit more sophisticated.
What do you mean?
Try to like use fingernail polish and erase the numbers and then stamp them on with the same lettering instead of cutting and pasting them together.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly what they did, but
they
put the numbers together. They taped numbers together.
If they taped them together, just walk yourself to jail.
Right, right. I wonder if this is totally off topic. Well, kind of on topic. I wonder if AI can predict lottery drawings.
I'm sure you could ask AI for statistics. Like, what is the most likely number?
Oh my gosh. We should try.
It won't work.
Okay, fine.
I can't remember. The chances of winning the lottery are so small, it's not even really worth playing.
Well, you can only win if you play, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how many people play, because it's still, what, seven numbers or whatever, six numbers?
Mm-hmm.
So the odds are always the same, but it's, like, ridiculously low.
Interesting.
Just buy Bitcoin and slowly win the lottery.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Play the long game is what you're saying. Okay. But we all hate being poor, right? The economy right now freaking sucks.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Yeah, but I feel like we really need to be careful how we phrase this to our kiddo. Like we talk about, you know, finances and make jokes about the economy right now and how the middle class is being wiped away. And we, you know, we'll say, we're poor, help me, I'm poor, kind of like on Bridesmaid, well, like, as a joke.
Sometimes we say, rightfully so, like, hey, we're not going to go out to eat tonight because that's too expensive. We don't have the money right now.
Yeah, sorry, kiddo, we can't have sushi tonight.
And that's not the only thing that bugs me about that either, is I worry about her when she becomes an adult and she has to buy her own house.
Right. The housing market right now, a lot of people are saying you almost need to buy a house for your kid if you can.
Right.
So that way when they do turn 18, they have one.
It's mind-bogglingly ridiculous. Like, wages have not gone up for anything, but the housing market is
crazy.
It's nuts.
Right.
We had a two-bedroom house in Virginia.
A two-bedroom townhouse.
Two-bedroom townhouse.
1,200 square feet.
One full bath. That was our starter home. Now, mm-hmm. I'm super glad we bought it.
It was a short sale. Yes. So it was...
We got a good price.
Yep.
That same house that we bought back then, we bought for $200,000.
Yep.
It's now worth $460,000.
That makes zero sense.
Two-bedroom, one full bath.
I don't understand.
I can't even wrap my head around why that's worth that much.
The only thing I can think of is because Amazon is moving into the DC area.
It's still the same house as what we had there.
I know.
It doesn't matter.
Right. The drywall, the lumber, all the things that make up that house may not be of value, but it's the location.
I just don't understand that at all, because it's still, you're still pricing out 95% of the people that mm-hmm. live there. Like all the teenagers and stuff that work at, you know, your grocery stores that are bagging groceries right now because they're in high school. How the hell are they going to buy anything?
Yep.
My dad bought a house when he was our age or younger, but you know, by himself on a single income
in the early 90s
on a single income with me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So he's able to do that. But nowadays you would have to buy a house with a family of 76 working to pay for the freaking mortgage.
Gotcha. Or have roommates, right? You would have to have people to live with you.
But even then it's like, do you really want to go into that territory where you're splitting a mortgage with roommates?
Mm-hmm.
That gets kind of sketchy. The only way is to rent. That's not right.
And renting is a hard hole to get out of, because you are constantly putting your paycheck towards a
somebody cost, else's bank.
Right. A cost that you will never recuperate, right. Meaning you're not going to get equity into your apartment.
No.
So you are never going to gain more than what you are putting in.
Nope. Renting is not an investment.
Right.
There's some benefits to renting, I will admit, like not worrying about maintenance. And it's not your house, so if your appliance breaks, you just call somebody. But you don't gain anything out of it. It's a money sink. It's absolutely sad.
Well, speaking of things that are sad, you and I had a discussion about prison and jail and whose responsibility it is to take care of these inmates while they are incarcerated.
Oh, yeah. I remember this conversation.
Uh-huh. We put a pause on it because this is a really interesting topic to think about. So there are a couple of specials on Netflix. There's a couple of shows out there like, 60 Days? You know, all of these different shows that give light to incarceration. So we started talking about whose responsibility is it if someone were to be injured and or killed while they were incarcerated? Is it the jail's responsibility? Should the family be able to hold a jail responsible for any accidents that happened to those family members? So we went off onto another topic too, but let's start there first. So whose responsibility is it to protect the individuals in the jail?
The municipality that the person is being held by.
So the county.
Or if you're in a state prison or a federal prison, whoever it is, whoever's responsible, whoever's putting you in jail, should be responsible for your safety because they strip you of everything.
Right.
You have nothing to protect yourself with.
So not individual deputies or people who were there at the time should be held accountable.
Maybe. It depends on if they're being negligent or whatever. Like, I don't know if it's a one-on-one fight. Obviously, it's not a riot because it's hard to...
Right.
If, well, it's, just a, one-on-one. If it's a freaking riot, it's like, okay, what the heck am I supposed to do? I'm one guy. But if it's a one-on-one fight and there's guards there, obviously there are 24 hours a day, they should be able to step in and stop that fight and stop that thing from getting too rowdy.
Yeah.
And if they, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's a weird and difficult situation to be in because that stuff can happen like that. But if you get hurt while you're being held there, how can you not say it's on them?
Not say that it's on the county or on the deputy. Yeah. Which one?
The local government, the government, whoever's holding you.
Okay. So my thought process on this, and I've been watching, I like 60 Days In. I think it's an interesting show. Some of the other things that are on Netflix, I like watching it. And one of the things that they have pointed out, and whether this is just for the show to make it interesting or if it's real life, right? They say that they will put, you know, up to 20, maybe more people in one block, one cell block, right?
Right.
And there will be checks by the guards at random and or certain intervals. It's not that in most cases, it's not that there is a guard that actually sits in the block. So to me, even that one guard, that one person who is there saying that you could hold that deputy responsible, I don't think it should be the specific person.
It depends. It depends on their action. Because there's cameras everywhere.
True.
Right? So if these two dudes are throwing down and somebody's getting their ass beat and nobody shows up, but, oh, you're done.
Right. But even if somebody, that deputy who's on the block, say they're there and they do try to intervene, but there's other inmates around, like it could quickly become inmates against that one guard.
I understand.
So a lot of times they do wait and they do call for backup. So that way they aren't the only ones responding to an incident.
How far is backup away? It should be a bunch of people in that place.
Should be. Absolutely should be.
Okay. Well,
but then, a lot of these places are understaffed just like the rest of the world right now.
And how the hell are they understaffed?
Something like that. Right. But it's a hard job. It's not a job that many people want. It's kind of scary, to be honest. You're in there with a bunch of people who don't want to be in there.
Well, yeah. I don't know. People are in prison for things that doesn't necessarily mean they're a piece of garbage.
True.
Right? They were in the wrong place at the wrong time, right?
Yep.
So
you have white-collar crimes versus something more heinous.
But not everybody in there is a murderer. And say your dad goes in there because he saw a girl getting beat up and he took matters into his own hands, put the guy in the headlock or whatever, and the guy died. Mm-hmm. But he's in jail for that now.
Right.
And he gets killed in jail. You're going to be fucking pissed.
Well, of course.
So it's on them. They should have to do something for you.
Define them, though, because this is where I think you and I differ. Them, to me, is, right, whoever, state, county, whatever municipality is holding that person.
Yes.
I agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with it being the deputy unless, like you said, for negligence.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If it's negligence, like, they're like, if they're caught on camera rooting it on or something like that, you know what I mean?
Well, Orange is the New Black was a really good show back in the day. And one of the episodes, one of the women who were incarcerated, the deputy put his knee on her and held her down and essentially crushed her.
Yeah. Yep.
He should absolutely 100% be right. Held. I mean, this is a show, obviously, but
yeah. I'm
sure it derives from some truth somewhere. But something like that, absolutely, that deputy should be held responsible.
Yeah.
But overall, I think saying that if a deputy doesn't respond right away. It depends on the situation, right?
There's a lot of gray area there. Clearly, if the deputy is being placed...
I'm saying deputy. I don't know what other term to use.
Yeah, whoever. If they're being placed in a super unsafe situation for everybody, then yeah, maybe they do need to wait. But a lot of that stuff, it's still the state, local, county, federal. It's their responsibility to make sure you're safe because Absolutely. They're putting you there. Obviously, but the people in there most likely did something wrong. And they still are alive. They're right. still humans.
Absolutely.
So they and you're stripping them of everything, all their stuff, all their belongings. They have no way to protect themselves. So it's your job to protect them.
Yep.
And I feel the same way. This is kind of going off on a weird tangent, but if a place decides to say no firearms, this is just an example. And an example of this was the Colorado shooting at the movie theater. Mm-hmm. I believe they had no weapon signs. Mm-hmm. To me, if you are going to take away my right to protect myself, mm-hmm. you have to protect me.
By providing people who are armed.
Yes, correct. A security guard, security officer, something of that nature. You should have to protect us because you're taking that away from me. You know, you're taking the responsibility of my protection away and you're not allowing me to do it. So you need to provide it to me.
Right.
So something like this, if it does happen, somebody can intervene.
Right.
Because if not, we're all just sitting ducks.
Yep.
I feel the same way about schools. Mm-hmm. Schools should have
SROs.
And if a teacher wants to go through rigorous training and mental evaluations and things of that nature, why not?
I'm glad you said mental evaluations because that was the other topic that we kind of got into with the whole idea of responsibility for jails. We started talking about the idea of someone who commits a crime in the jail that they go to. Versus should there also then be a mental health jail? So to me, I think there needs to be a separation. There needs to be a separation from people who perform crimes and are mentally evaluated and found stable, right?
Yeah.
Versus people who have clear mental health disorders, mental health issues.
Yeah, you can't really group those people together if they're hearing things and they hurt someone out of something they heard in their head.
Right.
That's sketchy.
Yeah. I think there has to be a separation. Right now, the world we live in, there is not enough emphasis on people who are struggling with mental health.
Oh, yeah.
And we just lump them in with everybody else and say, figure it out, right?
Yeah, I know. That doesn't do anything. There's no... So jail is supposed to be a punishment, but that you come back from, you get released.
You're supposed to be rehabilitated.
Yeah, you're rehabilitated when you're released. But somebody with mental disorders like that make them hear, see things, it's like that's not going to do anything.
Right. Incarceration does nothing.
It might actually make it worse.
Well, again, this is based on the Netflix shows that I watch. But they do provide medicine for individuals.
That's not enough.
Right. As we know very clearly, medicine is not the end all be all.
No, it's a 50. One of my doctors said medicine plus therapy, two sides
yep.
of a coin. You yep. need both.
Yep.
100%. And you use medicine to help, but you also use therapy to teach yourself how to deal and cope.
Right. And the person, if they do leave the jail prison post whatever their punishment was, that's not to say that they're going to continue being on that medicine when they leave.
No, especially if they might not have a job now because they were in prison. So they don't have insurance. And it's an effort that they have to take to go get medicine.
Right.
To go to a doctor, I have to get a prescription, blah, 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 blah.
It's almost like there needs to be two tracks. There needs to be a track for the person who is found mentally stable and committed a crime. Okay, go rehabilitate. Then you have another track that, okay, this person is found not mentally stable, needs mental health and medication. And they almost get like a probation officer after they're released, but it's like a mental health professional and they maintain their medicine, right. They maintain their therapy.
Right. And maybe that mental health officer says, did you go to the doctor today? No. All right. Well, I got to send you back.
Exactly.
You know, you have to go back. You're not being responsible. You're not treating your life now as you have been rehabilitated.
Exactly.
You have to take responsibility.
Just like someone who committed a crime, was rehabilitated, has a probation officer, they start sliding back.
They go back.
Exactly.
That's what that probation officer is for. And they, I mean, when I went to the mental hospital, they gave me a huge to-do list after I left there.
Yep.
But they obviously I didn't have like a probation officer because it wasn't jail, but I can see them reflecting that in a mental like jail.
I mean, assuming the person committed a crime, but they are mentally unstable.
Yes. If you go to jail and you're mentally unstable and they've determined it by psychiatric evaluation, things of that nature, then yeah, I think that you should have somebody to help hold you accountable. And if you aren't doing it, then you're not showing that you were rehabilitated.
Yep.
And you are provided, you know, a psychologist, psychiatric help within the mental health jail. I don't know. I think they should do things like that because addiction is another one that's a mental disorder too. Mm-hmm.
What we talked about with the psychedelic episode.
Yep.
When we were talking about how addiction is something that potentially could be cured with psychedelics, but something that does impact mental health and livelihood.
Yes. Well, when I was in that mental health hospital, I was also there amongst people who were addicted to substances. Mm-hmm. And the human brain is so complex.
Right.
That sometimes we need a little help understanding what's going on up there. And it's okay. That's the other thing. People need to understand it's okay.
Yep.
Go ask for help. But maybe people that are in jail for doing drugs, they need a little bit more help via therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Than I'm cold turkey in them and things like that. Because that makes it worse.
Of withdrawal for some of these people.
They can die.
Yeah, it's bad. And you're putting them in there with people who are not addicted and they have to bunk with this person and go through the experience of withdrawal with their bunk mate.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's traumatic.
It's crazy.
I was in that hospital and my bunk mate was an addict. He was an alcoholic, major alcoholic. And he was given benzos while we were there so that he didn't die from withdrawal because he was so far gone. They would give him, obviously they would tailor it off, but they would give him benzos. So his body got that fix and slowly weaned him off instead of saying, all right, you're on your own, bro. You're in jail now. You're not getting nothing. That's messed up, man. Because that will kill you. Yep. Withdrawals can kill you. It has killed people, especially alcohol withdrawals.
Mm-hmm. I was smiling when you said benzo because we call our cat that.
Mm-hmm. His name is Benny.
We call him Benzo. But yeah, so I think where I also go with our most recent mental health discussions that you and I have been having is recently within our neighborhood, we experienced a teenage suicide.
Yeah.
And it impacted a lot of people, obviously, throughout our neighborhood. And this teen was a teen that actually played soccer with our kiddo. Yep. And so we knew of him. I mean, we weren't close, obviously,
we weren't really friends with him or his family or anything, but it's still something that you're like, man, what is happening
right
in this world to where somebody so young feels hopeless.
Yep.
Like that. That's not good.
Right.
I don't know what we can do. Like that, there's just a lack of resources, I think, towards this, especially with kids in schools and stuff. They need a lot more help than we did, I think, when we were younger.
Absolutely. The world they live in is totally different from even the world we grew up in. And I mean, we're millennials.
They can't turn it off after school like we could.
Yep.
We go outside and play.
Yep.
They have tablets and Facebook and Snapchat that they get bullied on 24 hours a day.
Yep.
It's so screwed up.
And what you said is true. I think the idea of the two tracks for jail, it almost needs to be two tracks in school too.
They just need to be made more aware of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's well, okay.
The parents' responsibility should be to be able to identify these moments that these kids are having where they're depressed or low, or identify a change in your child's mental health, right? Yep. As well as the school needs to have more resources for when this is identified.
Right, right, right.
And what to do, how to respond. And if a child reaches out, that's one thing. But most of the time, people think there's no help, right?
Yes.
Most of the time, people feel helpless, hopeless. And that's what leads to things like suicide. And to me, it's just there has to be a way to get these kids to know how to reach out, who to reach out to, what resources are available for how they're feeling, and then B, adults to be involved,
yeah,
and be able to provide such resources.
Yeah, I don't know. The parenting thing bugs me too. It's like, how do you not see things that are happening? But I guess a lot of people are just so hands off.
Well, a lot of people,
they just
put the tablet in front of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad.
It's no good. It's no good. And these, I mean, like I said, this is a young kid and he committed suicide.
Yep.
That's nuts to me.
A teenager. Yeah. So young.
And I'm talking middle school teenager, not high school teenager.
Right.
We'll just funnel it down a little bit, but it's terrifying to me.
Yep. I wonder if he had given some reach out, like if he reached out to anybody or if anyone identified it, you know, like there's always the what ifs, I guess, yeah. But it just makes you think.
I know. But knowing that he was that hopeless to go through with, you know, that final act is terrible. It's so sad because I don't think that's something that happens overnight.
No, for sure.
That's trauma over a long period of time.
Well, like we talked about with you and with anybody that we've had on the podcast related to mental health, they come to a breaking point,
yeah.
Right? Everybody comes to a breaking point. And some people, thank the Lord, are able to come out of it, find help, get resources. And some people don't.
Yeah. Some people, they think that their breaking point is the end and they do something that they can't come back from.
Yep.
And that sucks because all of this is preventable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Like, there are a lot of resources, but I just feel like these kids don't know about them.
Well,
especially for sure. If their home life might not be the best.
Right.
Mom, I'm not feeling really, I feel kind of sad today. And they're like, oh, you're just going through something. It's like, no, you need to take that shit seriously.
Yep. Well, not to say that's what happened.
No.
Right.
I'm just saying in general, like, pay attention to your daggone kids.
Yep.
If they call out for help, it's your job to answer it. You're their parent.
I mean, I really do hope that there are, you know, we talked about all of this research that's happening with psychedelics. I really do hope that if there is some clear indication that this is a cure, that it can be used for kids too. I mean, I know psychedelics is a touchy subject for a lot of people, but
it's a touchy subject when you're dropping, you know, a magic mushroom that you got off the street. If you do it in a medical environment with X dose, to me, that shouldn't be touchy. It's just like anything else.
Right.
It's just like getting an IV.
Well, I really do believe, and I forget which doctor said this, but I really do believe that everything that we need in order to heal ourselves of any ailment is on this planet.
I agree.
I believe there are plants and herbs and all the things that we need on this planet already.
Yep.
So psychedelics to me sounds promising because they are naturally occurring.
Yep. And if they can reduce down the dose and really fine tune the dose you get, so you're not just like, I hope this one's not too strong, you know. It's worth looking at, I think.
I agree. And it was interesting.
None of this is medical advice.
No, dude, God, no. We're not that smart.
We're not doctors here.
Right. But it was brought to my attention that it may be against religion to use psychedelics. And I'm like, why?
Well, okay.
If we created this in a lab, maybe it could be considered a synthetic drug and against religion, but it grows on the earth.
I don't know.
God put it here.
Right. There's things that I just don't understand why people would want to hamper themselves if it could help. Like somebody with major depression tried everything. Yep. You know, tried therapy, tried Zoloft, whatever, antidepressants, anything like that. They tried everything. And psychedelics, they were like, hey, this is a new and upcoming thing. We want to let you try it. And they say, no, it's against my religion. Come on. I'm sorry. I respect your religion and everything, but try to get better.
Yeah. I mean, I think
Not saying drop acid. That's that's the thing. We're not saying do drugs. It's not a drug at that point.
Well, right. So to me,
I mean, it's a prescription drug.
Any type of drug or alcohol or whatever, it's all about gluttony, right? Gluttony is one of the 7 deadly sins. Okay, fine. We can get on that track.
Yeah.
But if you're utilizing something that grows naturally, was to put help on you, this earth.
To help you.
Right. To help you live to see tomorrow.
Yes.
Then why? I don't see that being against religion.
You're not dropping acid to trip balls and go to Dragon World and fly around on dragons.
Dragon World?
I don't know. But you're doing it to hopefully open your mind up and maybe enhance and remove some bad neural pathways.
Right.
I don't know how all this exactly works. I'm not a scientist. But from what I've read and heard, that's part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's a self-discovery journey, and it helps you kind of like
reset your pathways.
Yeah, reset your pathways. And you're like, man, why am I depressed about that? That is dumb. Mm-hmm. Look how big everything is, you know, things of that nature. But I respect religion. I'm not going to pretend like I'm super religious, but I just feel as if you are that down or depressed or that OCD, why not give it a shot, you know?
Absolutely.
You're not doing drugs at that point.
Right.
Prescriptions are drugs.
Right.
But.
And can be used as.
Yeah. Benzos are one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They.
Our poor cat.
They can actually kill you if you withdraw too fast.
Yep.
That's so crazy.
Well, staying on this idea of religion, what do you want done with you when you die?
What do I want done?
Yeah. What do you want done with your body that is left on this planet?
So my
when you die,
my shell that is left here.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to rent a boat.
Okay.
Put my feet in concrete blocks.
Wait, so you're intact?
Yeah, anything else is too expensive.
Okay.
Average.
So as is, except your soul has left your body.
We just talked to a family acquaintance. And how much did they say a funeral was?
Oh, yeah.
It was $25,000, $30,000.
It was up there, yeah. It was high. Thousands. Like tens of thousands, yeah.
I want you to save that money.
Okay.
Go to Lowe's.
Assuming that you go first.
I'm going to.
Okay. All right.
I want you to go to Lowe's, buy 2 5-gallon buckets.
And some quick cement.
And quick crete. Pour that shit into buckets, put my legs in there, and throw my ass in the Gulf of Mexico. That's it.
Okay, so I'm have to weekend at Bernie's you
I and am
hold you
to,
up. No, he's sleeping. He's sleeping.
You just go. You just go rent a boat. Nobody's going to go out with you.
How am I going to get your body into a boat?
You got a duffel bag full of fishing stuff. I'm going fishing.
And I
got
to carry you in a duffel bag. This is getting way too creepy. Like, somebody's going to think that I did it. That I offed you.
No, the only reason why I'm saying to put my feet in the concrete is to,
so you sink.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Because, you know, I think we would float.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, and somebody would find you. Oh, my God, he got dumped.
Yeah. So if you sink me to the bottom, at least, like, I'm part of the earth now. The wildlife will start chewing on me and all that stuff. And there'll be nothing left. Honestly, that's what we should do. I'm not paying 30 grand to get put in a box to be put in the ground. Just okay. Buy me some $25 quickcrete and some buckets.
I can't. My girlfriend.
Is this appropriate?
One of my friends. And we, I feel like it is a dark topic, right? But that is kind of the humor between me and one of my girlfriends. And she said what she wants done with her is you put her body in compost and you can actually pay to have this done. It's
thousands of dollars.
See,
but why would you pay?
I know, I hear you, but you become compost. They keep turning you after you're, you know, gone. And
that is so creepy.
You talk about going back to the earth, right? You're compost. But then,
I just said that's creepy while I just gave you a murderer playbook. Oh my gosh.
But then I was watching, oh crap. I was watching some show and they talked about how, someone sued Mountain Dew because they found a rat in the Mountain Dew. Right. Right.
But their defense was
they won the case. Mountain Dew won the case because their defense was that rat would have dissolved before it ever got to a consumer. Before it even left the factory, it would have dissolved.
That's nasty.
So that's what I told my girlfriend that I want. Just get a bunch of Mountain Dew.
Dissolve me in Mountain Dew. Oh, so what is more morbid? My idea?
Nobody's going to see me
being turned into.
You can do that in the bathtub.
Yeah, but so that's my thing is like, I like the ocean.
Right, but I'm going to have to get you into a vehicle, into a boat.
Drive slow. Don't get pulled over.
Right. Into a duffel bag.
Oh, my God. I think we got to cut this whole segment out of the damn podcast.
No way. I do want to end it with this, though. I read this article. So Ozempic is a big deal right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody wants to lose weight. Right. Yeah. Everybody wants to lose weight, and this is a way to do it quick. Ozempic's a big deal. Well, they're finding that women who are using Ozempic, specifically women who who are higher in age, are becoming more fertile.
Oh, no. We're going to have a bunch of old ladies in the villages getting pregnant.
A woman, 53 years old, ended up pregnant because of Ozempic.
Oh, my God.
I'm not using it. Oh, I'm not going near God. It. If anybody is on it, go away.
Yeah. If you sniff right, you're going to get pregnant.
Right? We're not going to the villages.
No,
because
God.
They might be using it. I'm not going.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. 53 years old and pregnant.
Yeah. We had a friend that he was in his 50s, right?
40s.
40s. Mm-hmm. High 40s.
Yeah.
And he had like a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, bro, you're going to be like 75 when your kid walks down the graduation aisle. Graduation aisle?
But, you know, I honestly feel like you're more
stable.
Know, mature.
Yes, stable I agree.
At that age and can handle a toddler better. You have more patience.
I don't know. You've seen grumpy old people.
But I'm talking 40s. I'm not talking 70s.
Yeah, but he's going to be 70 when his kid walks to, I graduated high school, and then they got to wheel his dad out, and he's like, yay.
I can't. Bye.
Where are we going?
Thanks for tuning in to the Unfiltered Union Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, be sure to hit that subscribe button to keep up with our latest episodes. We value your feedback. So please take a moment to leave a review on your preferred podcast platform. Got a topic suggestion or just want to reach out? Shoot us an email at unfilteredunion@gmail.com. Check out our merch store at store.unfilteredunion.com for some cool goodies. And for ad-free early access to episodes, join our Patreon community at patreon.com/unfilteredunion. Thanks for being a part of the Unfiltered Union family.